possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Yeah, not good for Mason Rudolph. Last two preseason games, two picks. Already a Steelers fan's calling for his head and saying Skylar Thompson should replace him as the Steelers' backup quarterback. And it even had longtime Steelers preseason analyst Charlie Batch and former quarterback saying the same thing, that there should be a competition, that there should be a conversation.
The one thing he's done, Mason, is that might get on Mike Tomlin's radar, since Mike doesn't really like him that much to begin with, certainly didn't like him as a starter. He hasn't taken care of the ball.
No. Nope.
And even in the preseason,
that's how you get in that doghouse.
Yeah, even in the preseason, I guarantee you Mike hates the fact that he took two shots down the middle and threw two picks.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Josh Roundtree, who you've heard so many times on The Fan as a evening's host, weekend host, Pirates pregame host, now golf aficionado, has called in for a couple of reasons. Number one, anytime he has a chance to rip Mason Rudolph, he is going to take advantage of that. So the floor is yours, Josh, to spread more anti-Mason Rudolph rhetoric.
Well, that's a great way of setting it up, Pony. I appreciate that. We'll be hearing about that.
Well, you have taken the baton from me on this. Whenever there is a chance to give Mason Rudolph some shade, you take advantage of that.
Yeah, I just have fallen short of dubbing him mediocre Mason for several years. But, I mean, I don't know. What are we watching here? The guy looks like he doesn't understand Arthur Smith's system. He's throwing passes over the middle that are getting intercepted. He's not seeing the field well. I don't know why we go back to 2 years ago and say, well, you know, it worked for three games here, so it's going to work now. It's a different offense.
That's three more games than Skylar Thompson's played well in, Josh.
Okay, and when we saw however many years ago Mason Rudolph get somewhat of a run in the league, he got replaced by a guy who lasted 3 years and is better at duck calling than he is at football. Like, I don't think – and last year Mason wasn't good either in Tennessee, and he got a full run as a starter there, and he had 9 touchdowns to 9 interceptions and wasn't a threat at all. Like, I'm not saying that Mason's not a backup quarterback in the league, but he's not
playing
as well.
Yes, you are. You're saying he's not as good as Skylar Thompson. And when you're not as good as Skylar Thompson, your NFL career is by definition dangling by a thread.
No, because I think there's still a place for Mason. I think he can.
Yes.
I think there's
as a
still
third
a place
quarterback,
on
our
roster,
and so most teams don't carry third quarterbacks anymore, Josh. They just don't.
Well, he can hold a clipboard.
They don't have clipboards anymore.
Surface tablet, Josh. Also,
he can hold a surface tablet.
So just to make it clear, you actually believe Skylar Thompson is a better quarterback than Mason Rudolph?
I think he's playing like a better quarterback right now. And if we didn't have resumes attached to these guys or thoughts or whatever, and there was no politics involved, we would look at this and say, well, one guy's clearly outperforming the other guy, and the other guy's doing the thing.
Since when do politics with the Steelers favor Mason Rudolph?
Well, I mean, that you're the one that brought politics up in the last segment.
Yes. Ramon Foster said it, not me. I was referencing what he said.
Well, look, the guy is just not playing at the same level as Skylar Thompson right now.
He did in the first game.
I still think he was good in the first game. Better overall.
He went 7 for 7 and directed a touchdown.
He was good in the
first
game, Josh. I don't think
he could have been better.
You got to give him that.
I think if we're looking at the collective sample, we look at the guy who's played better overall, and that's been Thompson.
All right, well, we know this much. There is going to be a place for Mason Rudolph. Not right away. He'll have to wait a couple of years, but he should be able to tear up 37U when it's his time, right?
I would hope so.
And you have an 8 experience, right? You have a ton of experience with 37U ball.
No, he does not.
A ton of experience is one way of putting it.
Wait, you played 37U football? I didn't even know you were 37 years old yet.
No. I am under 37, which would qualify for 37U.
Oh, congratulations on all your success being young.
I thought 37U meant 37 and up, like 37 and older. No?
Traditionally, no. Like an 18 under league would be 18U would be 18 under.
I know,
under.
But why are there 60-year-old guys playing in an under? The under 37 league is just the NFL.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think there's something lost in translation there when it comes to the U part of.
Well, maybe that. So wait, you didn't play? Do you? You're a broadcaster. I am assuming that this has to do with your broadcasting career.
Wait, you were broadcasting 37U football?
Yes. So this was years ago. I was working for a company that did broadcasting work, and we got licensed out to do minor league football games up at Geneva College. And it's legitimately the most ridiculous work experience I've ever had in my life. We asked for weeks for rosters to be sent to us. Nobody would send us rosters. We had no idea who was going to be on the teams. We didn't even know the team names until like the day before this whole thing started. We got up there with no rosters. We were told they would be there for us. They weren't. And the guy that I was working with, Mike, and I had to walk around the locker room while guys were getting dressed before the game and ask them their names. We had to ask them where they're from, what position they play. There were guys, I'm not kidding with this, there were guys literally on the toilet while we were asking them over the other side of the stall what their names are. One guy wouldn't even give us his name. He said that he had been recently released from prison, so he wasn't comfortable giving us his name. He told us, I'm not kidding you. I'm not making any of this up. He said, you have to call me by my prison name. And we called him by his nickname, his prison name, the entire broadcast. And he had a few tackles, but multiple guys blew out ACLs. There were like three torn ACLs in the first quarter of the game.
I mean, I'm just imagining if they actually had a proper PR department, there'd be bios that said like hip was replaced in, 2 years ago, like is working on artificial knees. Who was the oldest? What was the age range? What was the oldest guy you probably saw if you had to guess their age?
I would say the youngest was probably mid-20s, and the oldest was probably mid-40s, maybe somewhere in there.
Man.
God, yeah, that it just sounds awful.
Well, somebody texted me during the segment when we were talking about this and said, of all people, Mike Tomlin has been infatuated with 37U highlights for years.
Get out.
And, like, watches them nonstop.
For
and
a
just,
laugh?
No, just loves that, like,
guys
these
are
guys
just
are playing,
still going out there playing their hardest? It's,
exactly. These goons are out there laying each other out.
It sounds like you had a guy named Knuckles making tackles.
It was
Bobby
Bootsy
Razor.
Was his name.
What was his name?
Bootsy. B-O-O-T-S-I-E.
Bootsy. Yeah, that's another play by
final
Bootsy.
Score,
He's been everywhere.
Final score is 55-0. The next week, they moved the site of the game last minute, so we didn't do that. The following week, we drove up to Geneva College for the game and got there, and there was not a single person at the entire stadium. Turns out the league had folded 2 days earlier, and the guy never paid up on us broadcasting.
If the All-Star – that's the not getting paid part really does suck. The story is outrageous. Yeah, if you had to put together –
it's worth it for the story now, to be honest.
If you put together an All-Star team of those guys, age range 25 to 45, and you put them up against Bishop Sycamore –
you did their games
game.
Too. That's
who
right.
Wins?
I didn't do the Sycamore game, but I was there. I was there for the end of it. But I did the game right after it, so I saw the end of the Sycamore game.
And what was Sycamore? Was a made up school,
correct?
With dudes who were like in their 20s playing high school football.
Yeah, I think Sycamore probably smokes the 37U team.
Okay. Thank you, Josh.
But it would be a disaster to watch.
We'll hear from you again soon. Appreciate
Bye,
it.
Bye, Josh.
Tomorrow, 1 to 5.
Got it.
Oh, okay.
Goodbye.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. He joins us right now on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. How about Y.A. Black? After a sack, he lifts his shirt up, his big belly sticking out. That belly is so big, my man's got an Audi that then became an innie again. Like, when that dude was born, that thing was an Audi. And then the belly grew, and it became an innie because belly. All right, Carter. So, obviously, Derek Harmon getting hurt is the big story. Doesn't sound like it's season-ending. Sounds like it's a sprain. But how are we feeling about the Steelers' defensive line depth?
I mean, I got to say, Y.A. Black continues to impress me. He now appears to be not just the first guy off the bench, but a guy that they're kind of excited to have first off the bench. I noted, like, you know, when he had that first sack, I was like, okay, that's impressive. But when he had that second sack in a row, I was like, okay, yeah, they should probably take him out of the game now. Like, they don't need him to do anything else, because if Derek Harmon's out for the season, they need this guy to be healthy, because he's going to be a force. I think there's other guys that you could certainly question. You know, I think Dan Equale's been fine. You know, I still think Isaiah Loudermilk hasn't matured into like the presence that they need in the interior. But if Harmon's only out a little bit of time, and he's in the fold, but at least by like week two, I like this defensive line depth. I think between Cam, between Keanu, Derek Harmon, between Y.A. Black and Equale, I think there's five guys that could be good to great defensive line presences, especially against the run. And that's what this team needs. They need to rotate guys in the middle, take on double teams, keep the linebackers clean, and that'll take them a long ways.
Chris, what do you think this Derek Harmon injury means for Cam Hayward's situation? Do you think Cam Hayward now is like, okay, like, I'm going to play, you need me? Or you think he uses this as leverage for getting some more money?
I don't think it really impacts. I think I've been on the opinion that the Steelers and Cam Hayward have been on the same page as far as what their plan is for a while now. I think this whole Holden thing is kind of just like a thing where the Steelers are like, Cam, go ahead, hold in, man. Like, we don't need you to practice right now. Just talk to Derek Harmon. And I guess the thing, during all those training camp practices where he was supposedly holding in, he was right next to Derek Harmon and Wade. Like, he was talking to him the whole time, being like, hey, let's try this, let's try that. So, like, they didn't need to see him in training camp do too much. And I think there's been a tacit agreement or like an understanding that something's going to happen. He's not going to get like Chris Jones money, but I think he'll get enough money to like creep inside the top 20 of paid defensive tackles per year in the NFL. So I don't think that Derek Harmon's injury will have any impact on that.
Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. This has become a hot-button topic today. We've taken scores of calls. People are arguing in the YouTube comments. Who should be the number two quarterback after the way this preseason has gone?
I still say Mason. I think that it's a lot to read into preseason play. And sure, Mason's had back-to-back games with interceptions and bad interceptions, and Skylar Thompson was good, but Mason's also been playing the better units when he's been out there. He's the guy that's fit into your team a bit better. Now, I will say this. I do think Skylar Thompson's kind of made it a point where it might be like, maybe you put Will Howard on IR and just say like, hey, young guy, take the year off, we're going to roll with the three vets this year. And then that way Will Howard could come into next year being refreshed, and you don't lose him to the practice squad and someone scoops him off of you. But I don't think you want to lose Skylar Thompson as like a, as another backup at this point, because he looks pretty smooth. He looks like a solid veteran. Granted, if you're down to your third string quarterback, you know, like Devin Hodges all over again, like, you know, what chances do you have here this season anyways? But I kind of like the idea of keeping him around, because let's say Mason Ruff's just having a bad day and you just like, hey, we just need you to get us to a quarter, man. Get out there, Skyler. Maybe he can give you that change of pace.
Chris, how are you feeling about the running back position for this team? Jalen Warren obviously fumbled last night. Caleb Johnson's a rookie and Kenneth Gainwell is a third down running back. How are you feeling about that unit as a whole?
I feel like they haven't had the opportunity to really build their chemistry just yet with this O-line, and I think that that's something that the Steelers are seem to be okay with. They ran it a good bit last night, and I think that was good. Like, I think that they took more steps with it. You saw Caleb Johnson run with the first team offensive line and do some good things. But I also think that they are lacking the complete picture at the running back position right now. Jalen Warren is as close to they got to that because he can catch the ball at the backfield. He can pass protect. He can hit the hole, but he does let go of the football when it's in his possession sometimes. And I think throughout his career, he has 7 fumbles in like 700 touches or so or something like that. And it's not an alarming rate, but that's still not the rate that you want when you had like Najee Harris, who had like 5 fumbles over like 1,200 to 1,300 touches. And so, you know, there's a concern there. And I said that was the biggest thing that I thought was a concern for Jalen Warren's status as RB1 was, could he protect the football? Because as I've told everybody, I asked Caleb Johnson what he was doing to practice, you know, physicality and toughness during minicamp. And he was like, what I'm doing is I'm telling the defense to punch the ball out no matter where I'm at. If I'm on the sidelines, try to punch the ball out. If I'm running after a play, try to punch the ball out. And I've watched from rookie camp to OTAs to minicamp to training camp and now practices at the Steelers facility and to three preseason games with Caleb Johnson, I have not seen a time where the ball's been in his possession that he's let it leave his possession as a fumble. So that could be the thing that gets Caleb Johnson more time, is if Jalen Warren becomes a fumbling problem for the Steelers, Mike Tomlin will say, Caleb, get in there. We can't afford to let this ball get loose.
How about that? Who are you smiling at back
PJ.
There? Oh, PJ's here.
He was holding his nose.
Because of your fart from earlier.
What up, PJ?
Do you think Trey Sermon or Lou Nichols makes this team?
I think Trey Sermon. Lou Nichols has had some good moments, but you look at Trey Sermon's ability to make guys miss in space, and I think that he's a practice squatter. I don't think any of these guys make the final roster, but I think that they're looking for their practice squad guy that they'll bring in who will just run with the practice squad throughout the year. And then, like, you know, if there's an injury to the running back position and they got to sit somebody down for a while, that they can call someone up. And I think Trey Sermon has been in that role. Lou Nichols was pushing for it, but I think last night kind of confirmed Trey Sermon is that guy.
Chris, I had a hot take a couple of days ago. I said, okay, Troy Faltano is going to be an All-Pro at the end of the season. You agree or disagree?
All-Pro's tough. All-Pro's tough. There's a lot of really good tackles in the NFL. I think he could be really good. I think he can be a Pro Bowl player, a most improved player. All-Pro's just a lot. There's a lot of really good offensive tackles in the NFL. I mean, one of two would be – if he is, man, the Steelers are in a really good place. So I won't say All-Pro, but I'll say – Pro Bowl is possible. I'll say I do like what I see out of him. His fundamentals are really good. He's really strong when he has those fundamentals down, and I like his consistency. I like most of this offensive line. Him and Broderick Jones have been assets in these preseason games. They've been getting off the ball. They've been blocking well. And, you know, outside of the holding call from Zach Frazier and Pat Freiermuth, I thought the first team's rushing offense looked pretty good. You know, they were getting off the ball. They were moving guys. Granted, that was the second team defense for the Panthers. It should look good, but you're seeing coordination. You're seeing chips from the first level to the second level and well-timed chips. Those are the things I personally wanted to see as a journalist of the Steelers rushing game before I say, okay, that's a feature of their game that could be a problem for opponents. And they still got to prove it in a real game, but I think they took steps in that direction, and Troy Faltano, a big part of that.
And Broderick Jones, who stunk in the preseason last year and had a bad start to camp, He was great in pass protection in these preseason games. And you do great on a curve, but I also remember what happened last year, and I feel way better about him today than I did at the start of camp. Do you feel the same way?
Oh, absolutely. And I was a person who was on the side of like, hey, let's be patient with Broderick Jones. He's got to adjust. He's one of the youngest guys on the offensive line, even though he's the guy that was drafted first. When I saw him, once he started putting the pads on after he came back from his injury in the middle of camp, he looked really solid. He looked like he was getting his fundamentals down. I wrote about it for the Post-Gazette after the Jaguars preseason game. The fundamentals were there, and that's what Broderick Jones – it's all he needs right now is, hey, get into your drop sets, have good footwork, put your hand, make sure your hands are hitting the guy in the right spot, using your leverage. His 6'5", 311 frame with long arms – he is perfectly built to play left tackle in the NFL. If he uses his fundamentals, he is a very good tackle. But once he starts to apply those fundamentals with aggression, then he's going to be a very good to great tackle. And I think that both him and Troy Fautano have great potential. As of right now, I haven't seen the official PFF numbers for last night, but the first two games, 18 pass plays, no pressures, good sign there. We'll see if that holds up with this last game as well.
Chris, can the Steelers get something for Ben Sauls?
You know, I doubt it. I feel like there's I think he deserves a lot of credit for hitting those field goals. It would depend, and you know, if a team that feels like they are a decent team and they're going to win some games this year loses a kicker, or if their kicker stinks over the next few days because Tuesday is the cutdown day and looks like there's games all through Sunday night. If that happens, someone may call and say, hey, can we swap sevens and just take your kicker? I think that could happen there. But who knows? Maybe the Steelers say, hey, you know what? You want the kicker? We want something else really, really small in exchange. But Ben Sauls, I thought, made himself some money in the NFL. Maybe not right now. Maybe not tomorrow. But, I mean, when you make four field goals in a row and two of them are longer the way he did, someone's going to see that and say, hey, let's bring this guy in an emergency.
Finally, Chris, preseason wrapped up. Who's punter number one?
I'm going chalk and saying Cam Johnston, but I will say Corliss Waitman made this hard. I thought this was going to be easy in a way, Cam Johnston's job. I thought there was going to be no questions asked. But, man, Corliss Waitman, there were some games, there were some of the preseason games, some of the practices where I was just like, he's putting more boom into his punts. But I think Corliss Waitman's still the more polished punter. I think that when he can use the sideline better, I think he can probably cough and corner a little bit better, and that might be what they want. They're also paying him a little bit more, so I think that plays a factor. But I will say Corliss Waitman, like Ben Sauls, has earned a spot where if someone needs a punter, they can call him, and he would be a really good addition to their team. I don't think he should put his head down about anything here. I wouldn't be shocked if the Steelers picked Corliss Waitman. I feel like Cam Johnston's going to be the guy.
Chris, this was wonderful. We got a coffin corner reference in there. Just an outstanding breakdown, and we appreciate your time, pal.
I felt underdressed being on this segment looking at you guys.
Kickoff luncheon today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my first one I won't be at in like 6 years.
I feel like he could have got a courtesy invite. I mean,
he probably got invited. He probably just can't make it.
Oh.
Or not.
Oh, he didn't get invited. I could tell by the head nod that he did not get invited. All right, Carter. Well, if we were throwing the luncheon, you'd be there. All right, pal?
I appreciate it. I'm calling EJ. I'm mad.
There you go. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, fellas.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself.
Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. It's a Friday. Jason Mackey, Austin Bechtold in for the guys. Hope you are doing well. We are live at Acrisure Stadium on the UPMC club level. I'm sitting here next to Rock. How you doing? For the Pitt football media luncheon, things are getting underway here. Doors are open. Event starts at 11:30. We saw our good friend Doran Dickerson, who will be giving a keynote address. A lot of things happening here. A lot of excitement pointing toward the beginning of the Pitt football season and college football in general. Good points being made, Rock. We all right? All right. Good stuff. Appreciate it. We'll get to Ray Fittipaldo very briefly. But first, I want to remind you, Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, let's go NFL-wise. Ray Fittipaldo, you heard his music. Ray, the Steelers last night, they beat the Carolina Panthers. I'm not sure if that really changed much on how I think about things. What about you? What was your biggest takeaway from that one?
Well, for me, Jason, just, you know, the Derek Harmon injury, it seems like maybe they're going to dodge a bullet there. We might find out some more information later on today or this weekend, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be a season-ending thing. And then when you look at the reserves behind Derek, if Derek has to go on IR, why Black showed up again, and we've been talking about him all summer long. For a fifth-round pick, he's just balled out. So I kind of feel okay about the D-line depth if this is a short-term injury. Now, if it's long-term, then Omar might have to go out and address it, but I actually think they might be okay in the short term with Y.A. Black.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Y.A. Black last night, Ray, and you've been telling us about him for quite a while. Beyond him, though, who are you looking at? Isaiah Loudermilk, Dean Lowry? Like, who else is going to fill out the defensive line if we're looking at week one against the Jets and Harmon isn't playing?
Yeah, I think Loudermilk. You know, Lowry unfortunately had to go on IR earlier in camp. You got Logan Lee, who's a second-year guy after getting drafted last year. You got Daniel Equale. So you know, Equale is the vet of the group. You know, Loudermilk has been around. So you think Loudermilk has been okay against the run, you know, this year and in seasons past. The issue with Loudermilk, and I talked to him about this last week, is, you know, he wants to add more splash to his game. He wants to get to the quarterback more. That really hasn't been a part of his game. So if he is indeed on the roster, he's going to be looking to maybe add to his repertoire this year. But, you know, after Black, I think they're solid. I think they'll be okay, but they don't really have any dominant guys who are going to step forth other than Black. And I don't know if Black is going to do that, but I think we all see he has the potential to do that.
Papa Joe Show, Jason Mackey filling in for the guys. Right now we're talking to Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray, of course, is brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years, LGKG.com. Ray, we saw Scotty Miller have a really good game last night. He's looked outstanding this preseason. I think the general assumption is that he makes the team, but what is his role going to look like, do you think?
Yeah, that's really interesting with Calvin Austin kind of up in the air right now. Is he going to go to IR, or is he going to be back in 2 weeks for that Jets game? He hasn't really done anything in 3 weeks. Listen, if Calvin Austin can't go in that opener, then I think you're looking at Roman Wilson being the number two and Scotty Miller being the number three, and he's never really been in that position. He certainly wasn't in that position last year, Jason. He was up and down, you know, dressing, not dressing. Even when he did dress, he wasn't targeted much. Now, I think that might change with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. They seem to have developed a nice rapport. So that certainly could change this year. But, yeah, if he's on the 53, and I think he definitely is, if Calvin Austin is on IR, I think his role is going to grow and be expanded.
Yeah, so two gut feel questions about that, Ray. I mean, number one, I know we have no way of knowing, and there's some time between now and the Jets game, but do you see Calvin Austin III going on IR? And also, what does that mean for any sort of implications about adding another wide receiver into the group?
You know, Calvin was practicing with pads on this week before the Carolina game, but he wasn't doing any team stuff. So more individual work. It seems like he's still a little bit away from maybe getting back to full teamwork. Now, if he could do a little bit more in the next couple of days, and then again the game week, and they feel comfortable putting him out there, I think that might be a possibility. So I'm not entirely sure about IR and Calvin Austin. I think he's got a chance to play in the open. Now, as far as them going out and getting a guy, if he does go on IR, yeah, that would be something they would definitely have to look at either via a trade or scouring the waiver wire to see who else you know, drops a veteran receiver. So we'll find out here in about a week or so, but they are scheduled to practice tomorrow and Sunday, so we might get a little bit more info this weekend.
Ray, Mason Rudolph throws an interception last night, probably one he would want back. I think that kind of squares with the interception that he threw at Acrisure Stadium against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just not a great read. Any concern on your end with what Mason has done in the preseason, or is it just preseason? Move on, not care.
Yeah, I mean, my gut says just move on, but I mean, there's no doubt that Skylar Thompson outplayed him. You know, both you look at the stats and the eye test, I mean, Skylar was really good. You know, I was listening to Mike Tomlin talk yesterday, and, you know, he brought up what happened, I think it was 2018 or 2019. They had no plans on trading Josh Dobbs, but somebody had a need, and they turned around and they got a fifth-round pick for Josh Dobbs. So, you know, Arthur Smith called this quarterback room deep earlier this week when he was talking about that group. So if someone wants to come after a Skylar Thompson or a Mason Rudolph, maybe the Steelers would listen, but they would only listen, I think, if they knew Will Howard was going to come back and be able to be their number three early in the season.
Yeah, Skylar Thompson's been really impressive, man. I like his guts, his poise, taking shots downfield. Been very high on him. I want to ask you, though, about another quarterback, Ray, the one that's actually going to play. Ben Roethlisberger had some interesting comments recently talking about Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, the connection. Are you with Big Ben? Do you think this could be really an elite connection, or is it just kind of you know, preseason fluff, excitement, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, Ben was out there at the joint practice, so I think With Ben, I think he's talking to people inside that building rather than seeing it on the practice field. Now, you know, what we saw on the practice field, I thought it got better as the summer went on, but it wasn't really consistent early on, and I think it's just been like a slow and steady pace, getting better, getting better, getting better. Hopefully by the time the regular season gets here, they are actually hitting the ground running. So do I have confidence it could work out that way? Yeah, it could, but we didn't see them in any games together. So I do think it might take a little bit of time. But just overall, Jason, above and beyond DK Metcalf, you got Freiermuth, you got Jonnu Smith, Roman Wilson looks like he's going to be able to contribute. So right there, Austin, right there you got four or five guys who you could probably count on. It's just that the resumes aren't terribly long for Wilson and Austin, and I think that's probably the worry when Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith sit down to discuss this later on this weekend.
Pomp and Joe Show, we're chatting with Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can follow Ray on Twitter or X at RayFit1. You can also read his stuff, of course, at post-gazette.com. So, Ray, I'm intrigued by the Cam Hayward stuff now that we're through the preseason games. Not that I expected Cam Hayward to play in the preseason, but what happens now with him? Do they need to, you know, figure out the contract stuff? Is he going to get it back to practice? Obviously, he has to get on the field at some point. What's next in the Cam Hayward situation?
He's got a little bit more leverage now, doesn't he, considering what happened last night?
Yes, he does. He most certainly does.
So if the Steelers weren't budging, maybe, you know, maybe they're going to budge a little bit now. You know, the next week, Jason, I think they're scheduled to practice Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they got that NFL-mandated four-day weekend before game week. So, you know, these practices aren't going to be regular training camp practices. They might be more walkthroughs. I doubt they'll even go in pads any of those days. It's more, you know, prep for the Jets, getting a head start on that. So we'll be able to tell if he's out there. If he's out there in team, I think that's a good sign. But just knowing the way the Steelers do business and just knowing the history with Cam, you know, there was that situation in the COVID year 2020. I don't think he signed until that Tuesday or Wednesday of game week. So, you know, I think he's willing to take it down to the wire. We know the Steelers are willing to take it down to the wire. So that might not happen until game week. And, you know, we'll get some clarity on it at that point.
Ray, some talk about the running game. I was not terribly impressed with Jaylen Warren last night. I know it was just a couple carries and, you know, he fumbled and whatever. I'm not going to, you know, freak out about it. But where are you on the running game progress made? What the offensive line has done, you know, preseason nothing, or is a storyline that we should be potentially worried about?
Well, I'm not terribly confident, and there's no reason to be after watching the preseason. I suppose it was a little bit better last night, but, I mean, penalties. You know, they had some decent runs, but then penalties called them back. So, I mean, that's part of it. You know, Pat Freiermuth has to get his hands inside there. He can't be holding on the shoulder pads there. And that comes with him playing for the first time, right? Like Jaylen Warren fumbling, that comes with playing for the first time. So I guess in that way, it was good that those guys were able to knock a little bit of a rust off and, you know, they'll have time to get ready for the season. But wasn't really impressed with the starting offense at all last night. Hopefully it's much better for the season, but I got a feeling they're going to be in some low-scoring games here early until that offense can come around and get a little bit more consistent.
Ray Fittipaldo, thanks so much, Ray. Appreciate it as always.
All right, Jason. See you.
All right, take care. Check out Ray's work at post-gazette.com. Follow him on Twitter or X at RayFit1. Always a pleasure. Good to talk a little Steelers and break down last night's victory to conclude the preseason. Jason Mackey filling in for Pomp and Joe. We are live here at Acrisure Stadium, the UPMC Club on the second floor. This place is filling up. A very, very, very cool Pitt event happening today, the Pitt Football Annual Kickoff Luncheon. That gets started at 11:30. All kinds of stuff to expect. Remarks from Chancellor Joan Gable. Alan Green will talk. The Chris Bickle, 1997 head football coach, Pat Narduzzi will talk. Pitt seniors will talk. And Doran Dickerson. I've heard of that guy before. That's right. The All-American tight end and fan morning show host will address the group as well. We'll have an official announcement of the 2025 team captains. And some of those folks will actually stop by our radio setup here. We'll talk to Alan Green, Pitt's athletic director. We'll talk to Pat Narduzzi. We'll talk to a few players and sort of set the stage for this season. There's some just palpable excitement around this team, around college football in general, generally. But I love the way that Pitt is opening the season. I love the way this is going to kick off here in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Day, August 30th at Acrisure Stadium. It's the first Pitt-Duquesne meeting since 1939. It should be a fantastic environment here. I love seeing the two local programs playing, but, you know, it's a good time of year. It's a great time of year, I should say, kicking things off with the football season, weather getting a little bit cooler, and a lot to make of this Pitt football team. We did it in the first hour. Limits and I were kind of breaking down some things that we were looking for. Excitement surrounding year two of Eli Holstein in a Cade Bell offense. I can't imagine, again, I've never played quarterback at the college level, played quarterback at the high school level, but Cade Bell's offense, not easy to decipher, and that's something that Eli Holstein has talked about this offseason, things kind of slowing down a little bit, being able to make those progressions, and both Pat Narduzzi and Cade Bell talking about how much they've seen Eli Holstein grow. So that's going to be a significant storyline with Pitt. Desmond Reed, what happens with him? Probably my favorite player to watch on this Pitt team, if we're being honest, because of his running style, because of his very skill set. I talked about this before, but there's speed. There's shiftiness. He can go outside, but he can also drop his shoulder and just run over somebody. Now, obviously, the Panthers need to be cognizant of Desmond Reed staying healthy, but his ability to do it all is honestly extremely fun. He's a preseason first-team All-American. And get this, I love this number. I wrote a column recently about Des Reed, and I cited this because I love it so much. He's the only player in the country with three games of 100-plus receiving yards and 50-plus rushing yards. The last time anybody did that once, Christian McCaffrey in 2015. Pretty good. Reed and C.J. Spiller from Clemson are the only two FBS players to record 900-plus rushing yards, 500-plus receiving yards, and 150-plus return yards and a touchdown in each category in a single season. So, again, it's one of those incredibly specific and seemingly arbitrary stats, but it's really not. What it's telling us that he does a little bit of everything and does it extremely well. He's an explosive player and fun to watch, and he's also not the only weapon that Pitt has. Not even close. But I do hope we get a chance to talk with Des about his season upcoming, about staying healthy, about what this Pitt offense can become, because there's a lot of intrigue. And that's not the most interesting part of Pitt. You can easily make that argument. If I flip over to the defensive side a little bit, some of what they achieved in last year's campaign, very, very good. A lot of impressive numbers. They were sixth in sacks per game at 3.15, fourth in tackles for a loss, 8.2 per game, fifth in defensive touchdowns with four. You've got a bona fide All-American in Kyle Lewis, obviously not the only playmaker, but the playmaker that a lot of people are going to know the best. And as Limit said in our first hour, can easily be a top 15 pick, a first-round pick. I don't know, Limits, what's the upper end for Kyle Lewis and where you think he could potentially be selected if things go according to plan?
Yeah, and I really haven't looked at too many mock drafts yet, just because things can change so significantly. Yeah. That's kind of my argument with the quarterbacks, with the Steelers too. Like, we don't know. We need to see one additional season before we know if Lenora Sellers is good or Klubnik is good or Aller is good. So I think Kyle Lewis, based on what he did last year, overall production leader of the Sharks, just a younger guy that is blossoming now as an upperclassman, really has that upside because he has all the physical traits. It's very clear that he has the leadership and the mental traits needed at the position to be able to be an elite player. I think what you're looking for him to be able to do this year is probably how does he improve in coverage? How does he continue to improve in defending the run? And also the leadership aspect of it. How does he command the defense? How does he communicate defensively? Basically, as you know, another coach on the field, I think he's that capable of leading the Pitt defense.
You know what's funny, Limits? When we talk about the Steelers defense and them being yeah, I don't want to say cocky. That's probably not the right word. But they're full of confidence in saying these things, and they get ridiculed for it. But at Pitt, you've got this group of linebackers that knows it's good. They've created this culture, the Sharks, you know, a bit of a competitive edge, something that makes them them. And that's a good thing, as it should be. But that's my argument for the Steelers, where, like, I want them to have a competitive edge. I want them to find something that is only theirs. I actually love that about what Pitt has done and its linebacking group and the legacy that has sort of been passed down here. Like, I was at Acrisure when Servacia Dennis came back and was talking about, hey, I recruited all those guys. I brought them in. Those are like my little brothers. I was with them on recruiting visits, and now to see them achieving things that I was never able to achieve, that gives me a lot of pride. And so now I think about all the growth that you're talking about with Kyle Lewis, Rasheem Biles, anybody like that, and you know how the older brothers look at them, but also seeing these guys grow year to year. To me, that's what college football is all about.
Plus McIntyre, Brookins, another year, battle in the secondary. They return a ton of starters defensively, Jason, and that's where they're going to need to be able to thrive. Offensively with Cade Bell, we know how quick they like to operate. We know how many offensive sets they like to possess. But I feel like it's going to be up to Pat Narduzzi's defense to be able to set the tone, set the standard in the ACC.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They've got the starters. They've got the talent. And there's Pat Bostic. He is here. I feel like Pat was wired for events like this.
The paddy wagon.
By the way, the paddy wagon. If you could, like, genetically modify somebody that would thrive in a setting like this, that person would not come out of the factory looking like me. It would come out of the factory looking like Pat Bostic. Friendly to everybody, liked by all. So, and welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey in for the guys. We are live from Acrisure Stadium, the Pitt football luncheon, and sitting next to me is sort of the man of the hour. I know you're honoring the seniors, but Pat Narduzzi is sitting here with us. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on today.
Man, this is awesome. I've read about this event. I've seen this event. I've never attended this event, but the vibe here and what you guys have going on, just really special, huh?
Yeah, this has been a great event every year. We've had some great keynote speakers. We've got, you know, Scorn Dorn today, so we're excited to have him up at the podium today. And, you know, we just finished up our 19th practice, and we're excited about this 2025 season.
How excited are you to hit somebody else, coach against somebody else, compete against somebody else? I would imagine this is the time in camp, Pat, where you're ready to be done. Ready to compete.
I think the coaches are ready. I think the players are ready, but I think the players are more ready than the coaches. I mean, okay. I think they are sick of hitting each other. I think our offense is sick of going against our defense. Our defense wants to see somebody new, and in 7 days we get a chance to have somebody new, and I think that'll be refreshing. And it's like that every camp I've been in, but you know, the coaches are still getting great work against each other, which is really what you need.
Pomp and Joe Show, we are broadcasting live from the Pitt football kickoff, chatting with head coach Pat Narduzzi. Coach, what has this group shown you that has been unique through the moment you arrived in training camp to where you're at now? What are they showing you?
You know what? Maturity. You know, I think we've come a long way from where we were a year ago. Obviously, we have new faces on offense and defense and special teams, but I just think the maturity level, it just seems like a different. When you walk into that first team meeting, you just sense a locked-in, serious attitude out of our players. And there's been very, very few issues. There's always going to be a couple, but I've been really, really happy with just their mentality coming into camp, because there's the physical toughness on the field, but there's also that mental toughness being able to handle everything else we do.
I like about your group that you've been able to keep this group together. There's players leading players. I'm sure you experience that a lot. Those are the best groups that you can find when guys are holding each other accountable. What have you seen in that department in terms of players stepping up, even growing, as kids staying in the program?
Yeah, I think we've got great leadership from our seniors to our leadership council, and obviously to the captains that'll be announced today here at lunch. But I've seen a lot of that. The guys just sticking together and doing things the right way, and I think that's the key. They're taking ownership. It's their team. I always tell them it's their football team. It's not my team. I'm the head coach. Your team. It's going to roll as you guys roll, and I think that's going to be the important thing as we go through this season.
What's an area of the team, Pat, that people aren't talking enough about? You see it every day. We on the outside, we try our best. We don't get every storyline right. What aren't people talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I hope they're talking about everything. Yeah. I'd like to say that nobody's talking about our D-line, or I know they're talking about those linebackers, those Sharks in there. Maybe they're not talking about our secondary enough. I think we're pretty deep in the back end. I think we've got 8 guys, 9 guys that can play across the board back there. And then on offense, I think we've got some explosive receivers that I'm excited about. You know, Eli Holstein, year two. I think, you know, again, I don't, you know, you asked me that question. I don't know what you guys talk about, right? But, you know, I think you should be talking about everything. But, you know, you got that All-American tailback in Des Reed who's spectacular. He's had a great camp, and I'm excited to see him get turned loose and actually get hit in a game.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch him too, man. I was talking about this a little bit before. I love his running style. I love that he can go outside. He can get you with speed. He's not afraid to drop his shoulder. Can do a little. I mean, you look at the kid and you think he's not that big. He's probably going to be like a scat back, and he's not. He plays much bigger.
He plays big. He's tough. You know, he, pound for pound, he's probably the toughest guy on our football team. I had an NFL scout at practice the other day saying, how is he in pass protection? And you know, no disrespect to like an Izzy Abandikanda, who's a 210, 215-pound tailback. Like, he's better than that. He plays at 225. You know, I've seen him stone linebackers. You know, we don't ask him to protect a lot, but when we do, he can be really good, and people will see that this season too.
You said something I wanted to circle back to about you don't pay any attention. You don't pay any attention to people. Really? You're
really,
not paying any attention?
Really. You know, I think when I was a young coach, I listened to the media, and you'd read and say, you know, this or that. But, like, I've learned through the years, especially when I was at Michigan State, to ignore the media.
Okay.
You know, and I tell our kids the same thing. Like, you know, I used to walk in dorm rooms at Michigan State for bed check, and I'd walk in there, and they're all on their laptops on their desk, and they're looking at a thing called Spartan Mag or Panther Lair. Like, what are you doing? Like, why would you look at that when you're in the team room every day? You're on the practice field every day. You know what's going on in the home.
Yeah.
Like, what are we looking for? Like, you know, what do I need to look at? I know what our team's like. You know, I always talk about, like, you know, like blocking out all that noise. I really don't. And I've told even our players when we went down to media day, I said, guys, understand this. You know, don't read anything they say. They're going to misinterpret it. You know, and sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, obviously.
Yeah.
But my point was, like, I love our, you know, our local media. I really do. I mean, Jerry DiPaolo, who's retired, I love our local media.
We were talking about your dynamic with him.
But,
it's legendary.
I love our local media because I don't read what they say. If I would read what they say, I'd probably go in there with a bad, you know, disposition, and that's something I don't want to do.
That's interesting.
So
it's a, you guys got to get going? Yep.
I think we do. They're introducing my guys.
You got to be part of the event.
So I want to see my guys get introduced, see what they look like.
Do it.
But, hey,
appreciate
thanks for having
it.
Me
Good
on
luck,
today.
Pat.
Appreciate
yep.
you guys.
Of course, man.
Hail to Pitt.
Yep, absolutely. Pat Narduzzi, there he goes. Very fun, loud, exciting event down the hall from us. Again, we are live at Acrisure Stadium, the UPMC Club, second floor of the facility here. And they are currently introducing a lot of Pitt's seniors. They're going to name team captains for this season. So appreciate Pat Narduzzi's time. Certainly does not have to stop by and talk to us. But I was teasing to get into Pat's interactions with media because I really do like them. And that is a genuine comment. I appreciate that he says things that sometimes might light a fire. They might not be popular, and sometimes they go viral, but he speaks his mind, and I love when people do that. It's interesting to hear his perspective, though, that those don't always land. That his players might not see them, he might not see them, just kind of does it and shut it off. I don't know, you know, and I've done this for a living for a long time, and I don't know if I could do that. If I was on the other side of the fence, I would think I would want to see how that is being perceived and what people are writing and saying about me. I do it on Twitter. I'm certainly guilty of it. I'll check my mentions, and I'll respond, and then I'll get caught up in it. And, hey, we're not perfect. None of us are, so we do our best. Anyway. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. And the fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So there's a couple things I want to get into on this show. We'll hop over to them as we maybe wait for some Pitt players to stop by. We're going to speak with Athletic Director Alan Green. He'll be here as well. Want to get his thoughts on this event, Pitt football, his job, what he's learned about Pittsburgh during his time here. So I'm trying to pick my spots for some stuff that I want to say maybe outside of Pitt. And we really haven't had a chance to discuss Pirates topics, where the Pirates are going, what's happening with Bubba Chandler tonight. You heard in the last update Limits talking about Bubba Chandler pitching out of the bullpen. I wanted to debate this with Limits because I think he might be on the opposite end of the spectrum. Limits, you are a start Bubba Chandler, what the heck are the Pirates doing type, right?
That is correct.
I want to hear the argument for this. You know the way I feel. You know I disagree with it. But I want to understand where people on the other side of the fence are coming from.
Yeah, so here's how I think about this, Jason. So we know that Chandler has struggled a little bit over the last couple of months. His ERA is like 7 right now in the minors. I'm a little surprised by the timing of the promotion anyway. I would have done it earlier in the year. At this point, I thought maybe just at the end of the minor league season, he would have been recalled. But I feel like moving him to the bullpen and changing his routine and changing, I heard Matt Clement on the PM show earlier this week basically say that that's a huge adjustment going from the rotation to the bullpen for a guy that's already struggling. Where, look, I don't compare Bubba Chandler to Mike Burrows. I don't compare him to Braxton Ashcraft. He is, your diamond jewel. He's your diamond necklace. He's your gold, where the rest of the guys are silver. Okay, I want to see Bubba Chandler in the rotation because I want to see what he's like going up against the heart of the order two times out there instead of it's 7-1, here comes Bubba Chandler into the game to pitch the next 3 innings. I want to see him at
disastrous limits. You're talking about going through an order two times. I mean, what if he gets blown up? If he's not pitching well in AAA, what tells you that he's automatically going to pitch well in the major leagues?
I don't automatically know that, but I want to see it.
So why are we throwing them to the wolves and saying we're going to see you go through two times through the order with an ERA of 6?
Why are we throwing him to the bullpen that he's not done other than 3 times in his minor league career?
Because if things go poorly, there's an easier exit strategy than there is allocating a start to him.
What is that exit strategy? Just keeping
him out of the game and put somebody else in there.
And just not pitching him at all for like a couple more days?
No, what I'm saying is they're going to pitch him in probably not leverage situations to start, right? Like if they're up 4, they're down 4, something like that, you might see Bubba Chandler. If he loads the bases, if he walks the bases loaded, I'm probably going to get him out of there and say I'm not going to let him have a terrible time. But if he walks the bases loaded with a start, all of a sudden, like, then I've got a bullpen game and I'm screwed. I don't like that outcome. I don't like that outcome for him or the team.
If he's as good as everybody is making him out to be, don't you have the confidence for him to be able to start and trust that that's not going to happen to him?
I mean, I have the confidence, but has he pitched in a different way than that lately? No, he's had trouble with his control.
That's been
reality. I think he's good, but he's also had trouble with his control.
Maybe it is, and yeah, control for him over the last couple of years has frequently been an issue. Like his whip is high. Walks are a concern. He had more walks than he had strikeouts last
16
month.
16 walks in his last 6 starts.
Yeah. So for me, I just feel like I wouldn't want to change his routine up. Like, not everybody is cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
Braxton Ashcraft said that it was good for him to be able to go to the bullpen, work on some things, before ultimately going to the rotation and becoming a starter. I feel like Bubba Chandler is just a different breed. He's cut from the cloth of Paul Skeens, Jared Jones. Those guys went right into the rotation and shoved. And I feel like Chandler, maybe it was just the poor mentality that, hey, I want to be up here with my guys, and I wish I should have been up here in June. That's what I believed, and it should have been sooner. Whatever. Maybe there was some pouting going on there.
Yeah.
But I feel like you just unleashed the hounds, man, and you just let him go out there and pitch and let him learn from his mistakes in the major leagues. And instill that confidence in him.
No doubt. This is one of those arguments that I think you can have and both sides can be right. Like, I listen to you talk, and like, I understand. I don't agree with you, but I understand where you're coming from. And I would hope that somebody looks at this with my perspective. If I'm saying I would rather him pitch out of the bullpen, and I think this is a logical path forward, that you don't get mad about. Like, the Pirates aren't doing anything devious or intentionally stupid here. Like, they've certainly done things that they should be criticized for. I'm not saying they haven't, but like, I do see the logic here, and they have a comp in Braxton Ashcraft, and no, they're not the same pitcher, but if your routine is not working, if you're having issues, if you have an ERA of 6 over your past 6 starts or whatever it is, I think it's 7.43, if you're not pitching well, maybe your routine should be disrupted. Maybe that's not the worst thing in the world. And you're going to keep his innings low, and you're going to be able to work on some things. There's easy exit strategies. That's why I don't necessarily hate it.
Yeah, and I understand that. And, like, I don't think it's a bad take at all. I feel like you don't want to change up what the identity of the pitcher is when he is that talented, when he's that highly regarded. Like, Braxton Ashcraft also, Jason, was coming off of Tommy John. Same thing with Mike Burrows. They were working those guys in more because they hadn't pitched in the last year. So I understand more of the argument to putting those guys in the bullpen managing their workload a little bit in the major leagues until you ultimately, maybe not build them up entirely, but let them see that style of competition where you feel comfortable going into the rotation. Like,
yeah,
Chandler's the number one pitching prospect in all of baseball. The same rules don't apply in this situation to me.
I am a little bit, and I get what you're saying, Limits. I do. I am a little surprised they're taking this chance right now. And maybe this is, like, given the precarious nature of Ben Cherington and his job status and this regime and how we think about them bringing prospects to the major leagues and all that stuff, wouldn't the easiest thing be just to start him? Like, where people can't kind of question that?
Yeah.
I don't, like, if this goes poorly, people are going to look at them and say, like, look, you're overthinking it. You're trying to make it seem like you're so smart. You know, they're opening themselves up to criticism just by not doing the obvious thing. In this case, I agree with them. They've done this a lot before, and I disagree with most of those things, but I do happen to agree with them here. I just think it's interesting that, you know, there's a lot on the line for this group. Absolutely, and they've taken a pretty big chance with Chandler.
Yeah, they're taking a chance, but why didn't they call him up earlier in the year then?
I know. It's a $1 million question. It might literally be a $1 million question.
Here's the other thing about starting too, Jason. If they do want to limit his innings and they do want to have him more in a you pitch 3 to 4 innings type of thing, right now he's at what, 100 innings? Last year was at 119. Wouldn't you want Bubba Chandler starting games going 3, 4, 5 innings per start so that you can get him to about 130, 135 so that next year you could push his innings up to around 160? If he's going to start the year on the major league roster and you're going to want him to pitch right around 30 games, 30 starts,
well,
don't you want to build him up for that potential for next year? What does that help with in a bulk relief role?
Well, you're exactly right there, Limits. I agree with you. I agree with that point. And I do think that's another tentacle of this that it's where my feeling on being okay with this starts to wane. And I also think it's something that requires this to be very strategic. And I think Braxton Ashcraft yesterday, or 2 days ago, excuse me, kind of let the cat out of the bag. He said, I don't think it's going to be very many appearances out of the bullpen. Limits, I don't think it's going to be very many appearances out of the bullpen. I think that's what this is about. I think
really?
You're going to see like 2 or 3, because I agree with you. Look at his innings. 100 innings right now, 119.2 last year. You generally want a 20-inning jump year after year. And so think about that's basically you're creating his 2026 budget. So if you want Chandler to be usable, you want to get to a respectable number there. You probably want to get to 140. But if you have a couple relief outings, you establish things at this level, allow him to build some confidence, jolt his routine a little bit. I bet he finishes the year as a starter. I bet he doesn't stay in a relief role, I would say, for any more than 2 weeks.
Okay, you said what? You think he's only going to pitch 3 more outings this season or 3 outings?
No, as
a
reliever.
Okay.
Out of the bullpen. But assuming it goes well, I think that's the goal here. I'm saying I don't think their goal is for Bubba Chandler to be a reliever for the rest of the year. I think their goal is to get his feet wet as a reliever, transitioning to starting faster than they did Ashcraft. They just want to do it in a strategic way.
Okay.
Which kind of stinks for Chandler, honestly.
Yeah, like, it does.
Like, you want that debut, right? Like, you want the Skeens day. We want the Bubba day. We want the buzz around the city to be like, oh, my gosh, we're going to see Bubba Chandler, the best pitching prospect in baseball. I understand. So, like, I do kind of feel bad for him in that regard. But you've opened the door to that possibility by not performing that well in the minor leagues. And it's not just, like, you know, for one start. We're talking for 13 starts. He's got a 5.96 ERA. That's just I can't take that and just start you and not care. Like, I understand why they're trying to go at it a different way.
I think about it this way a little bit, Jason. There's been so much paralysis by analysis with this group where
they
overanalyze so many different things. And I look at this in a very similar light. I don't know if it's analytics-driven, analytics-based, but clearly they're so focused on the amount of ups that a player has. It's not pitch count anymore. It's how many times do they get up, ultimately throw, get ready to throw, pitch in innings, whatever. So I feel like that's another thing that's clouding their judgment here, making them overthink, overanalyze, instead of just saying, all right, he's a starter, he's the number one starter in all minor league baseball, let's go out there and let him prove it. They're overthinking it.
It's a good debate, my friend.
Enjoy it very much.
The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You can listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And lastly, the 50-minute mark on the Fan. It's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. So we're talking a lot of Pitt. We're talking a lot of Pirates. We're talking a lot of Penguins. Oh, wait. No, we're not talking a lot of Penguins. That's the one thing we haven't gotten to. I just wanted to touch on it very briefly before we got to a break. But this sale stuff, and this is coming from somebody who on the newspaper end, I've been trying to report as much as possible. Matt Wenzel and I, our Penguins writer, we were on the phone all day on Wednesday. This actually created quite a few logistical challenges. I was at the PNC Park press box trying to watch a baseball game and was chasing other things because of the seriousness of these talks. And there's a piece on our website, post-gazette.com. You can read it with Matt and I, what we've outlined and the expectations for this group. And we're talking about the Hoffman family of companies purchasing the Penguins from Fenway Sports Group. And I very much believe this is going to happen. I don't think this is smoke. I don't think this is, you know, casual interest or that Hoffman is just, you know, sort of kicking the tires. Like, this is pretty far down the road. It's a matter of whether it's down the road to the point of a letter intent or down the road to the point of, like, this sale could be announced. And if I had to pick one, I would pick the latter. That, like, this is very, very serious. So I think you guys could see some new owners for the Penguins, which is a very interesting topic here as we talk about their ongoing rebuild. And it's not so much on the ice anymore. Now it's who's owning the team, who's putting what into them. Is Sidney Crosby going to be happy? Let's talk about some development rights across the street and all these other topics that maybe aren't the most sexy for sports radio, but they're very much on the horizon as it pertains to the Penguins and what's happening. I will be fascinated to see if and when this goes through, you know, what happens with business. Kyle Dubas, I don't think Dan Muse is going anywhere, but, you know, is the rebuild carried out? Does this group, and this group has some pockets. You know, the Hoffman family of companies, I've written this before, they're in, I think, 30 countries, over 200 businesses. They've accrued wealth to the point where they're very much capable of basically overpaying for the Penguins. FSG bought them for $900 million, a little over $900 million. And here comes Hoffman. They're about to pay $1.75 billion for the Penguins. And I think it's a small drop in a very large bucket. So what do they do? What do they do with them? I don't know. I mean, I'm here for it. I want to see what happens. I want to see what Sidney Crosby thinks. I want to see what route they go. I mean, if they want to say, look, this is the biggest asset we've ever owned. We don't have anything else like this in our portfolio. The only thing we've done that's close is the Florida Everblades of the ECHL. We're going to go put the pedal to the metal and go for this thing and spend some money. And I'll pay. Like, that could change. There's nothing that says they have to maintain the same course that Fenway Sports Group set. I also think, I mean, this is a major storyline. Fenway Sports Group and Mario Lemieux did not have a great relationship. That became a problem. What changes if ownership changes? Is Mario welcomed back? I mean, David Hoffman, the sort of patriarch of this family of companies, not a dumb guy. You want to win over the city of Pittsburgh, get Mario there. Get him on the ice. Get him waving. Have him be a part of this ownership group. Involve him in some way that links your fans. Now, it's somewhat complicated, of course, because Mario and Ron Burkle also had their own pursuit of the Penguins that came up short. They're not going to overpay the way the Hoffman group did. But if you're the Hoffman group and you're looking to chart a new course, don't you involve Lemieux? You have to. So anyway, it's a very small point. We have a lot of stuff going on, a lot of different you know, branches on the tree of today's show. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about the Penguins, but I did want to sit here and share a little bit of intel based on what I've done on the newspaper side about this being very much real. A lot of, you know, it's the kind of thing that lends itself a little bit more to this medium than it does writing, where you hear a lot of, yeah, I've heard the same thing. That's my expectations. Yeah, we're preparing for this, that sort of thing, where if you try to present it formally in a newspaper setting, you know, you can either say this is happening or it's not happening. You don't want it to sound like speculation because then you're just making stuff up. But, you know, you can kind of articulate yourself a little bit better on the radio. So it's got my wheels turning. I'm certainly thinking about what life is going to be like for the Penguins in a post-FSG era, and it's going to be a fascinating thing to see. Again, the development rights across the street, they expire in October. What happens with them? How do people think about FSG? What does Sidney Crosby think about all this stuff? Do they bring Mario back into the fold? Do they make an effort to bring Mario back into the fold? A lot that we will learn.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The biggest concern on this roster all of a sudden. Yeah, they need a wide receiver too. What do you think? 412-928-9370. I'll tell you, Caleb Johnson looked fine, but Jaylen Warren, dude, 2 carries, 3 yards. We know in the regular season he'll be productive. But the fumble thing.
Yep.
He gets popped. Ball comes loose. Mike Tomlin has benched his ass before for fumbling. And I don't know if this was the plan or not, but after the fumble, the immediate next series, Kenneth Gainwell was in there getting the first carries. Now, he went back to Jaylen Warren after that, but I think there's a little message sending there.
Yes.
For sure, right? So you've said it, man. We have never seen Jaylen Warren shoulder the load. We have seen him fumble. Kenneth Gainwell hasn't exactly bathed himself in glory this preseason. Caleb Johnson hasn't exactly bathed himself in glory this preseason. Kenneth Gainwell is a third down back who's never toted the rock more than 84 times in a season. This running back room right now is a little bit of a concern. I think it might be more of a concern for me than wide receiver, too. How about that for a take?
I agree.
Oh,
I agree. I've been agreeing for about a week or 2 weeks now.
Maybe I've agreed with you.
Yeah.
How that happened.
And just don't know. There's a lot of unknown, but there is a lot of known, too, at the same time. I know what some of these guys can do. I know that Caleb Johnson's a rookie. I know that Kenneth Gainwell is a third-round back, a really good one. I know that Jaylen Warren split carries his whole career with Najee Harris. I know that he has fumble issues. I know that he has hamstring issues and does get banged up during a season. Those are things that I do know. But what I don't know is if that room can keep that production at a high level together. I don't know that. I don't think so. Throughout a whole 17-game season? I don't know.
I believe in Jaylen Warren's ability to run the ball, but if he's toting the thing 20 times a game, I have no idea what that looks like. And the fumbling thing is a legitimate concern. Like, I sort of give Tomlin hell for always benching him, but when the other guy was someone who never fumbled in Najee Harris, you were a team that was trying to protect the football and play defense these last few years. When your running back puts the ball on the ground, that's bad. And he clearly hasn't figured that out. Caleb Johnson looked better these last two preseason games. He's also not playing against starters. The only time we saw him against starters, it didn't look very good. And we already know pass protection is a concern, and we saw he's got frying pan hands. So I was very excited about him coming into the year. I'm less excited about him now. And if Kenneth Gainwell has to be your number two, I'm just not sure that's going to work. So, to me, that's a concern.
Some good news to report on Derek Harmon. He's out here now on the sideline, sitting on the bench in between Cam Hayward and TJ Watt. The Steelers locker room is on the opposite side of this sideline. He was able to walk out here in street clothes, so we're going to take that as a good update. Hopefully, we'll learn more from Coach Tomlin postgame.
Derek Harmon's got a knee sprain of some description. He's being evaluated.
All righty. Good afternoon, everybody. Steelers 19, Panthers 10. Plan the parade. No, seriously. Plan something, a party, because, I thought today was going to be a depressing Friday afternoon. I hate
there's still summer. Time.
I hate sad summer Fridays.
You like that Lana Del Rey song, though? I like that one. It's
because
one.
Friday should be upbeat and fun in the summertime. This should be all at all times. It's the end of the week. But Derek Harmon getting carted off and
in tears at
looking
time.
Like a grown man that was crying, yes, was alarming and scary. And so there was a solid hour of angst, I think, that everyone had.
Oh, well, people, you know what happens? This is the power of Pony, not just PM team power. This is truly Pony power. DMs flooding me with, he did it again, the Derek Harmon jersey giveaway, the jinx. People just insisting that you were jinxing him. Then people insisting that you were jinxing, who else was it? Oh, Y.A. Black. You were putting cut-ups of him looking good again in this game and saying, people just in the mentions, stop doing this. You really are front and center in people's minds when things go bad or when you tout a player seen as a kiss of death, a grim reaper of sorts.
Guess what? I'm going to do a lot of kissing right now because I know what you say about the preseason.
Oh, no.
And we should not have these big, wide-sweeping conclusions that get drawn from the preseason.
Stop. I'm gonna let you finish.
No, you're not, because you're already interrupting me.
It's not. No,
you're not letting me stop at all. You're not letting me finish at all.
Implied in stopping you is that I will. When I say that is that I've stopped you once. I won't stop you after I say this. I say that, yes, don't draw sweeping preseason conclusions. You yourself made that vow after Kenny. And
I know,
you
but I'm going to break a rule right now.
You've broken it like 10 times.
Well, rules are meant to be broken. Somebody said that, and I'm about to do it again. And I'm especially happy that Charlie's here, even though I love Donnie. Donnie is off doing high school football, and Charlie will be with us on a lot of Fridays.
I think every Friday.
And Charlie is the perfect person to hear this.
Oh, boy.
I watched Y.A. Black last night, and I have come to this conclusion on him, this discovery. I think he is the next Vita Vea. I think the Steelers with the 164th pick have found the next great athletic run stuffer and penetrating nose tackle in the NFL. And the coaches were starting to feel that way watching him in camp. And what he put on tape in the preseason, obviously, I wanted Derek Harmon to be fine and ready to go. But watching Y.A. Black play in the second half made me feel like, well, if Benton had to play defensive end and Black played nose tackle, I might be okay with that because I see great things in Black's future. In fact, without twisting my arm, I might say right now that I prefer Black to Benton. And I want to see Black out there with Harmon and Hayward playing the ends. I want to see Black early in games, and especially on first and second downs, stopping the run. I think they have a... He's bigger than Casey Hampton, but they've not really had
he's
a true...
much bigger than
they've
Casey.
Not really had a true nose tackle since. And I think this guy, they might have found an incredible diamond in the rough in Y.A. Black.
Four YouTube comments in a row. Pony Jinx alert. The pony curse is in. Someone light a Primanti's prayer candle for Y.A.'s ligaments. Damn it, I liked Y.A. Black, and now this?
Yeah. See, I'm not alone. I met Vita Vea after the Steelers-Buccaneers game. He was in a towel. He was half naked. And he walked over to me. He sauntered over like Kabali is wont to do. And he was very angry at me.
Vita Vea?
Yes.
Why?
Because somebody in the Buccaneers locker room had lied about something that I said. And he came over because
somebody on the Buccaneers coaching staff?
Possibly.
Okay.
He was under the impression that I was going around saying that he was not half the player Casey Hampton was. Mm-mm.
So do you think that this person in the Buccaneers locker room said this specifically to get Vea riled up?
And a large Vita Vea confronted me.
Former high school running back Vita Vea.
And I said, look, Big Snack has two rings and you've only got one, brother.
That was the hill you were going to die on there.
And I thought to myself as I said it, this man is really not going to throw down in just a towel.
I mean, I don't think he would need, if the towel was tied tightly, I don't think the towel even becomes slightly loose in the time it takes him to dispatch you.
I think he did the thing that Arthur does when he's mad. Like, I think he balled up a fist in the moment, but knew that it was not a good idea to sock out.
Well, because he knows how hard you've been training for the last 18 months.
Well, I've been punched in the face a lot, not by someone as big as him. But
he might be able to like break your neck with a punch. He could hit you so hard.
Yeah.
Brian in the YouTube comments, I do want to stress this, and then I will offer my rejoinder on YA Black. We'll get down to brass tacks. He said, nobody knows who Pony is. Get out of here. It's fake news. I will tell you this, Brian. I will speak to you personally. I'm pretty sure I know who in the Buccaneers locker room said this to Vita Vea. Pony is known to that person. And therefore, Vita Vea would merely need to be pointed in the direction of that guy, as in Pony, and be told, see that guy?
Yeah.
He talked trash on you. So I trust me, this actually happened. Here's what I'll say about Y.A. Black. I'm going to be a little more general than you on this. I've been doing the cautious optimism thing with him for the last two games. Now he started to show out against the Bucs, I thought, and he obviously was showing out again last night. The thing I will say about preseason where sometimes you can get a read on things, although, again, he's going against third stringers a lot of the time, physical battles are physical battles. Like, do you know how to use your body? Do you know how to create leverage and space and angles to attack? And can you just sometimes be stronger and bigger than the guy in front of you and run him over?
Yep.
There is no, hey, schematically, other than they're going to double team this dude, there is no schematic thing that you can chalk up to Y.A. Black being so good where, oh, well, they weren't trying to block him on that play. No. There's a dude in front of him trying to block him in these games, and he's ragdolling them. So that is exciting. I think what I am more excited about, and this is what it feels like for me they don't have many of in the last several years, I get the sense, or I feel like when I'm watching good teams late in the season or in the playoffs, there's always a guy, it feels like it's on both sides of the ball equally split, who's a fourth or fifth round pick that year, who has played a lot, and the announced team will say something like, yeah, you know, they didn't know what they were getting here, but they've gotten way more than they expected out of so-and-so, okay? Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like the Steelers have a ton of those. It's like, if you're not a first, second, or maybe a third, like, you're on an apprenticeship for a year. And so I have tried to temper my optimism and enthusiasm for him so I don't get out over my skis, but it does feel like they might have one of those fifth-round finds that good teams seem to have
more
often.
So you are agreeing with me. That's what I just heard there.
It's hard to not be excited watching a guy who's got the classic big man arm brace where it looks like he's got Barry Bonds level protection on his left arm and just seeing him blow people up and penetrate, as you said, penetrate into the backfield on passing plays and seemingly occupy a ton of space on running plays. It's not a sexy position, but when you play
very important one though.
But when you play it the way he looks like he might be able to play or the way Vita Vea plays it, it can be really disruptive. Big Snack, all those guys would tell you he was so impressive.
You gave up 299 in a playoff game. You got this guy with pick 164. I'm going to say another thing that is going to excite the masses.
Pony's great aunt helped launch the Titanic, another comment comes in.
I think I'm not going to say anything here that's so wild that it's disparaging towards one of the all-time greats in Steelers history. But after the Iron Man himself, Mike Webster, I believe Y.A. Black is going to go down as the second greatest fifth-round pick in Steelers history.
Willie Gay is up there as a useful one lately.
Yes, very, very nice player. But I think this guy has a chance to be great. You know, you see this with baseball because there are levels to baseball before you get to the major leagues, obviously called the minor leagues. When a great young player is in the minor leagues, you want to see him differentiate himself and stand out against inferior competition. Connor Griffin has done that in the minor leagues this year. That's why he is promoted to Double A. Not so much Bubba Chandler, but the analogy holds here in that, yes, he was out there against guys that probably won't play for Carolina. When he's out there against those guys, I want it to look like a dude who somehow at the age of like 18 was allowed to play in a Pop Warner youth football game.
Yes, you want it to look like one of those bits where they're hanging off of him like children and he's just like stomping through. And he does.
And
he
that's
does look
how
like that.
It looked to me.
He does look like that. I cannot deny that.
There were some things about this game, early in the game especially, that drove me nuts. There was something in this game with Derek Harmon that scared the crap out of me for a short amount of time until we got good news, seeing him laugh and hang out with his friends on the Steelers sideline.
Quick sidebar on him. Yes. Do you think he got like told by the trainers, hey, this looks bad, or he just assumed it was because of how he felt?
I think probably that.
Because I was going to say, if you get told by the trainers and you're crying, that's one thing. Then I feel like, okay, bad news. But like the play never looked like it should have torn an ACL.
And the thing that made me feel good about it was they didn't bring the card out on the field. He got off the field.
I didn't take any solace there. I've seen
no
people,
solace?
No, I've seen people walk with torn ACLs. You can run in a straight line with a torn ACL for the most part. You can't cut or do anything. That's the whole point. But no, I took no solace from seeing him walk off the field. But the fact that the fact that that looks like what, maybe the way they're talking about it, there's no definite timetable, maybe a 4-week injury total.
Yeah.
That makes me feel good.
And that opens the door for more playing time for Y.A. Black.
And here's the other part of Y.A. Black being potentially good. If he's potentially good for them, then you have a rotation there. I know he's a nose tackle, but you can just shuttle in more guys there. You don't feel like you've got to go with, right, the same three at all times. Just being able to rotate one or two players in and feel like you're going to be able to keep guys fresh. That's why the Eagles are so good up front.
Good point.
They got like five or six players that they're willing to use.
Well, they did. We'll see if they can still do it now. But yes, they've lost some guys in free agency because they're so in demand because they've played so well. I mean, it was, if you stuck around for the second half of the game and you're watching him get sack, fumble, rubbed his belly after the play, it was a sight to behold.
All right, how do you feel about the jersey test? Are you thinking Y.A. Black's going to be... Does he pass the China test for you?
No, he doesn't yet.
Not yet?
No. You got to win something for the Steelers for me to get your jersey after the Kenny Pickett disaster.
From a reputable dealer, not from some
unscrupulous
overseas website. Okay.
So
I am enthusiastic about him. I love the jinxing jokes that we like to give and send in your direction. I do think his position is one where you either kind of can do it or you can't. There's not as much with Kenny where he was facing vanilla coverages. He was playing against guys who weren't going to be playing on that team's roster. That part is still true, that second part with Y.A. Black, but you either can move people and not be moved when you don't want to be moved or you can't. He appears to have that ability.
He was the limitless wonder.
I love you. I love you.
Like on trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
Shall I call you Ron? Dr. Dick? What should we go with
here? You can call me Ron.
Now you're insulting my intelligence.
No, I'm insulting your integrity.
All right, Joe, another wonderful rendition of the intro for the Limitless Express. You gotta love
it,
huh?
The intro is better than the segment itself. I like the segment. Don't get me wrong. the intro is just spectacular. Good.
Well, are you going to like what Tomlin had to say about not playing Aaron Rodgers? What is it? Here it is.
There's really four guys that I'm not considering playing. Cam, TJ, Aaron, and DK. Everyone else is under consideration. They're preparing as if they're going to play.
What are your thoughts about potentially going into the season without having your quarterback play any preseason games?
That's like I'm comfortable with what I'm seeing out here. Obviously, if I weren't, I would be playing them.
We're talking about practice, Joe. Mike is comfortable with practice.
I will acknowledge this. He has made a big deal about you have to spar before you box. He has. But I'm glad he's not applying that to Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf, and I hope he doesn't play Jalen Ramsey or Slay tonight against a second-team Panthers offense, according to Bob. None of their starters are playing. What in the world is the point of putting a 30- and 34-year-old cornerback on the field in a game against another team's second-string offense when you're risking yourself physically? There's just no need for it. The McMillan kid, the receiver from Tampa, out 8 weeks for that catch last week. And I ask again, for what? For what? Next.
All right, next up on the docket, what did Ryan Clark have to say of ESPN and the Pivot about the Steelers being big time under the microscope?
Team can't get off to a slow start. If you've watched Mike Tomlin teams throughout the last few years, they normally start fast. Mm. It's that they tail off toward the end of the season. You have some very winnable games early on in this season, and there's going to be this team has aging players who are some of the all-time greats of their generations at the positions. They're going to expect that to pay dividends early in this season. And if this team doesn't get off to a hot start, Omar Khan, the general manager, Mike Tomlin, the head coach, and Aaron Rodgers, the starting quarterback, would be under an intense microscope.
Yeah, how intense, I don't know. The big topic on ESPN this morning was, is Mike Tomlin on the hot seat? We could spend a real small amount of time on that, and I could give a simple answer. It would be one word, no. Having said that, you know, they've done it both ways. He's gotten off to bad starts and come on late, and he's gotten off to great starts and folded late. They do it all kinds of ways. They just never win a playoff game. But the Steelers being the Steelers are always under the microscope. That part is true here. They remain, along with the Cowboys, one of the five, you know, flagship franchises in the NFL. They do, as far as eyeballs on their games, big storylines, all of that, high profile, Q rating, whatever you want to call it. They remain up there and they're under intense scrutiny. And I agree with everything he said other than that, which is they've got to get off to a fast start. Kind of like last year, it's mandated because the schedule toughens later on and because they have aging players who, quite frankly, have crapped out in recent seasons late. Look at TJ Watt and Cam Hayward last year. Nowhere to be found down the stretch for either one. Maybe they were dealing with injuries, but that's part of it when you hit 30 and over.
And I want to see this get off to a fast start for Rodgers, for Metcalf, for some of these guys, just so that the vibes are good, because we know the big egos that are on this team, especially Rodgers and Ramsey. And if it gets off to a slow start and things aren't clicking, Rodgers on McAfee might say something. Something might drop on the Cam podcast. And I feel like that could deteriorate the season even more so than people might anticipate now, just because everybody's judgment will get clouded. So I think that's a part of it. Cleveland, the Browns in Brook Park, their stadium, that's where they wanted to put it. Well, the permit has been denied as the city of Cleveland, according to a report, moved in silence to secure the denial of the Browns' permit for the stadium in Brook Park. The big reason why is because it's too close to the airport, and the city, working with airport officials, according to a story from Cleveland.com, sent warning letters, in quotes, regarding the height of the stadium, thinking that it would interfere with air traffic.
Are they trying to build an Escalooser in there? Is that what they want, to copy the Bengals? The Browns can't even win a permit in their own city.
They can't even get... No, because this is right outside the city. So basically what the Browns are trying to do, I don't know if it's for tax purposes or whatever, they're trying to build the stadium in Brook Park, and the city of Cleveland is like, no. We want it in our municipality. We want it in the city of Cleveland, whether it's downtown Cleveland or whatever. We want it in our city limits, for lack of a better term. The Browns, I mean, like, Plus, they want a dome, Joe.
So what's going to happen here? What's the next move? Are they moving into a new place? Can the city really stop them?
The permit was rejected because the stadium is 58 feet too tall.
So make it 56 feet tall.
Well, it's 58 feet too tall. They would need to shrink it by 58 feet.
Then make it 58. That's just big. Ridiculous.
That's a lot of feet.
Yeah. I love this. I love everything Cleveland.
How many feet would that be, like?
I don't know. They can have a one-foot-high stadium.
Is that like 15 Malzies?
Have it underground like the Big House.
Is that like 15 Malzies?
Could be.
58 feet tall?
They could have it like 18? The Lyceum out in Lawrenceville, just to have people watching from above.
St. Mary's Lyceum. That's a great gym.
St. Mary's Lyceum, yeah.
Man, I played there.
It's legendary. They could play underground limits, preferably with nobody watching. That's how the Browns should play. Next.
Oh, that's fascinating enough. The Jerry Jones situation continues with Micah Parsons. There is also a new 8-part docuseries that just debuted this week on Netflix on Jerry Jones,
yeah,
the Cowboys.
Have you seen any of it?
I've seen some of the previews, like how Jerry put so much money on hitting on a specific oil rig and then basically said, fellas, after they hit, like, I don't even know what it was, $133 million or something, this is the money we're going to use to help buy the Dallas Cowboys. Is it time for Jerry to give up his general manager stake, considering what he's done with Micah, giving Dak too much money? I feel like the Cowboys this year, Joe, are just going to be such an utter disaster. They're going to win 5 games.
Ooh.
Schottenheimer is going to be on the hot seat. The Cowboys are going to have a bad year.
I don't necessarily agree with that, although I do acknowledge there's a high implosion factor, and it could be boom or bust. Jerry should have given up his GM role about 30 years ago. Limits is when he should have done that.
Yeah.
In some ways, he's absolutely ruined that product. So have you said it's on already or it's not on already?
I think it came out today.
Series.
Today or yesterday.
Have you seen the Netflix or the HBO thing on the Bills yet?
No.
Hard Knocks?
I feel like Hard Knocks has gotten watered down,
though. It jumped the shark. It absolutely jumped the shark. And you saw it last year with the AFC North stuff. They were afraid or told not to dive into any of the juicy storylines. Teams have too much editorial control, and therefore the show sucks.
Yeah, you really can't see anything. I mean, Deontay Johnson is the best example. Everything that went on with him where he didn't want to go into the game and then he was ultimately suspended and he was ultimately cut by the Ravens.
Yeah.
That was like not even acknowledged in Hard Knocks.
Exactly.
How do you completely overlook that?
Thank you, Limits.
Thank you, Joe.
50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Will the Steelers make a trade before the season begins or two? Are they on the lookout for a certain position? And how does this actually play out tonight now that we know that the Panthers aren't playing any of their starters, according to our friend and yours, Bob Pompeiani? Let's ask Jeff Hathorn all those questions and more next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.